Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Good morning. Good afternoon. What's cracking? Where are you? I am Jim Rome. I am in Southern California. I am live. And we are in the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. Big football day. My thanks to Cincinnati Bearcats quarterback Desmond Ridder. He's having an enormous year. They're having a great year. It's good to talk some Bearcat football. We start hour number two. If you're on hold, stay there. If not, I do have a phone line open. And as you know, this telephone number is good in the United States. It's good in Canada, wherever you are. But we're going to start hour number two by talking Buffalo Bills football. We are joined by a safety for the Bills. Coming off a game where he had four tackles, he had a pass defensed. He had an INT against Tennessee in week six for the season. 26 tackles, four passes defensed, and two interceptions. He was an All-American and a first-team All-Pac-12er at Oregon State. He was the 218th pick overall in 2013. You may or may not know this. He was a 42nd round pick of the Miami Marlins back in the day. Buffalo is 4-2. They're in first in the division, and they're hosting Miami. It's a CBS game, 1 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. Jordan Poyer joins me once again. Jordan, it's great to have you back. Thanks so much. How are you?
I'm good, Jim. I appreciate you for having me on again, man.
So good to have you, Jordan. Always like talking to you. So I'm curious, especially you and knowing your approach and your mindset. You're coming off a bye. You're getting ready for Miami. How was that bye week, and what did you get up to? How did you approach it?
Yeah, you know, being in the league 9 years, you kind of learn a lot about, you know, how to handle a bye week. You know, I spent time with my family, a lot of time with my family, my wife and my daughter, and really just rested and recharged, kind of reflected, you know, where I was at and, you know, where I wanted to go as a, you know, as, you know, for myself and then obviously as a goal for our team. So, you know, I'm ready to get back to work, man. You know, it was good to see the guys yesterday and today. Everybody look, you know, refreshed, recharged, ready to go, man. We got a, you know, 11-game stretch, you know, to the playoffs. And so, you know, it's, you know, new season, time to roll.
That's interesting. So when you talk about how you thought about yourself for a minute, like, where am I at? Where do I want to go? That self-reflection, what types of questions did you ask yourself? And what were the answers? Where are you at right now?
Yeah, you know, I feel like I'm playing well. There's obviously a lot of plays. There's some plays that I wish I could have back. But, you know, I just want to keep going. You know, I just want to keep getting better every single day. You know, really attacking every single day and really taking a one day at a time, you know, approach. You know, what's happened in the past. You can't really fix that. But, you know, what can you do? What can you learn from it in order to keep getting better? Because that's the name of the game, man. You just want to keep, you know, you want to keep getting better, you know, as a individual and as a team. You know, and because you know, you don't necessarily want to be playing your best football in September, October. You know, you want to keep getting better, play your best football in the end of November, December, where you know, football, you know, where each play matters, each game is huge.
Jordan Poyer is joining us. You know, you're 9 years in. I'm really curious. Like, the goal obviously is to get better every single day as a person, as a player, as a father, the whole thing. 9 years in, you obviously know so much more now than you did when you first got in. So you're definitely a more intelligent player. Your football IQ is higher. Physically, can you do everything you used to do? In other words, is your best football still ahead of you and not behind you?
I truly 100% believe that. You know, early in my career, you know, I look back and you know, I wasn't playing a whole lot. I was a special teams player, you know, my first, you know, 3-4 years, and just kind of learning under the guys and that were ahead of me, the vets that were older than me, kind of how to take care of your body, how to just be a professional. And so, you know, I didn't have to take a whole lot of physical beating my first 3 years, and then obviously my fourth year I got hurt. And you know, I still feel like I'm growing as a player, and I still feel like my best ball is ahead of me. You know, I'm 30 years old right now, but, you know, I always tell people, you know, I was always a late bloomer. And so I always, you know, I was the last one to have, you know, hair on my legs or whatever, you know. So I still feel like I'm getting better each and every day, each and every year. So, you know, I do feel like my best ball is ahead of me.
Jordan Poyer is joining us. I'm going to come back to that point about you being a late bloomer in 1 second, because there's something that's really interesting about that, too. You know, when you mentioned that when you first came in, there were guys who took you under their wing and talked to you about, this is how you prepare like a pro. This is how you take care of your body. Now, guys come to you, and then you share that information with them right now. Who were some of the guys that taught you that stuff when you came up?
Yeah, I had guys like Jim Leonard. I had guys like Deshaun Gibson. I had guys like Dante Whitner. All guys who respectively, you know, all pro guys, You know, with Whitner and Gibson, you know, Gibson's still playing in the league for the Bears right now. But guys who, you know, well-respected around the league, obviously we weren't, you know, we weren't that great of a football team when I was out there in Cleveland. But, you know, just how to prepare for each and every game, how to go into, you know, how being able to handle wins, being able to handle losses as well. Because it's a long season, you know, you never can really dwell off a loss too long, and you can never really get too high off a win too long, you know, because before you know, you're right back in on Wednesday preparing for the next week. And if you're holding on to that loss, holding on to that win, you know, that's going to distract you going into the next week. So it's little stuff like that that, you know, I still see in younger guys now. Some, you see younger guys, you know, they might have a really good game early on, but then, you know, that really good game kind of holds on to them, and they, you know, feeling good about themselves. And it's hard to do. You know, it's hard to let go of a game where you go out there and maybe you have 10 tackles and 2 picks or whatever. You know, it's really hard to use that 24-hour rule and forget about that. And now you have to prepare for the next opponent. And that's really a lot of things that I got from those older guys is, you know, how to handle wins, how to handle losses. And in Cleveland, we lost a lot. So, you know, and even now I feel like it's a lot easier. It's coming a little bit more to fruition now. You know, we're in the middle of the season. I'm in year 9. You know, we're 4-2 now. You know, obviously took a really tough loss against Tennessee a couple weeks ago. But ain't no reason to dwell on that. You know, we got another football game coming up this week, and we know we're a good football team, and you know, and the guys know they're good football players, and so we just got to continue to work. And that's when I say get better each and every day. You know, coach always says you never lose, you just learn. You know, it's a shame on us if we don't learn from our losses. And get better from them.
It's really pretty interesting. You know, it's all mindset, right? You have to have that mental discipline that no matter what happens, good or bad, you got to keep moving. Like, you have to 100%. Keep moving. It's so interesting. You know, the guys you mentioned too, Jordan Poyer, my guest, these are really interesting guys that you mentioned. Like, Dante Whitner came on my podcast a couple of weeks back. He still has plenty of it. He's right down the street in Newport Beach. Jim Leonard, I've spent some time with at the Wisconsin program. These are all really strong dudes. And I know the young guys that you play with right now would say the same thing about you. Jordan, the amazing thing, you are the subject of your own doc, Jordan Poyer, the kid from Astoria. What was it like to participate in that documentary and then to see the final film? That's got to be some pretty heady stuff.
Yeah, it was amazing, man. It was crazy how it all came together. I was, you know, just kind of like, I go out to Astoria every year and always do some sort of fundraiser back home where I grew up and always do some sort of fundraiser. And we kind of decided about 2 weeks before I went out there that we were just going to film the content and then just, you know, film everybody that was back home with me. And just kind of tell my story through it. I didn't see the final product until I saw it with my teammates here in Buffalo when we dropped it. So that was my first time seeing it. And I mean, just to see it all come together, man, it was really emotional. It was a really emotional night. And you know, I had so much support from, like I said, my friends, my fans, my teammates, you know, all around. And you know, a lot of them, most of those guys that came to that had seen, you know, what I was like before, you know, when I was drinking heavy, when I was, you know, doing the stuff I wasn't supposed to be doing. And now obviously see, you know, where I'm at now. You know, I've been almost 600 days since I've had any alcohol, and just, you know, that just the support that I continue to get from them, man, it's awesome. And it motivates me to continue to share my story and try to inspire as many people as I can, because, you know, alcohol is a huge issue in our world, man. And you know, it's hard to talk about. You know, I think we all know somebody who has been affected with alcohol in their life, and you know, it's just I think we got to talk about it more, you know, and that's my goal now, is to be able to normalize, you know, not just alcohol addiction, but any sort of addiction, man. We got to be able to talk about, you know, what's going on, and in order to step in front of those problems. You know, that was my biggest thing, was I needed to own up to what I was doing and really face myself in the mirror. And I think a lot of people, you know, now that I've opened up, are able to come to me and really kind of relate to, you know, what they're going through. And so, you know, I just want to continue to be that light for folks.
Jordan, I appreciate you so much for that mindset and that mentality. I respect it so much. I admire it so much. You and I have talked about this. And I love that you didn't just do this or post it or talk about it as a one-off and say, all right, I've covered that. You're just saying, you just said it to me right now, we need to continue to have this dialogue. The door has to be open. So my question to you then is, if somebody were to be listening right now, or somebody were to say to you, Jordan, it's bigger than me,
man, I'm fighting a losing battle. I have no hope. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I'm giving in to this. I can't go on. I can't do it. What's your response? What's your message to that person?
Yeah, I usually tell people when they, you know, because a lot of people come up to me in my DMs or even in person, and they'll tell me their story. Like, hey, man, I'm struggling. You know, I can't seem to put whatever it is down. You know, how can you help me? You know, this is what I've been through. And I tell them, like, look, man, like, you took the first step right there into owning up to, you know, your problem. Like, owning up that you actually have a problem. And you owned up to me, somebody who you don't even know. And so I challenge people all the time to own up to somebody who is close to them and let them know that, hey, man, like, it could be your best friend, it could be your wife, your husband, whoever. Hey, I have a problem. That was my issue. I was too macho man, too this, that, or whatever you want to call it, to feel like, you know, I had to go ask somebody, like, look, or tell somebody, like, hey, I have a problem. And everybody that I told after, you know, my wife was the main one, like, hey, and she supported me the most. I had to, you know, let her know, like, hey, you know, I have a problem, and I need you to help me. And, you know, she was the first one to be able to she'll tell you, first of all, she helped me, man. She told me to let me the direction I needed to go. And even my mom, I told my mom I had a problem too. And most of the time, the people that you tell you have a problem really probably already know you have a problem. And so, you know, now I tell them, you know, own up to your problem, own up to it, face it on, and the, you know, the people that care about you will help guide you in the direction that you need to go. And then I always let them know I'm here to talk too, you know, because some people just need another voice in their life to have that conversation. You know, I had a conversation with a guy today. He told me he was 4 months sober, you know, and ever since him and I had the conversation, he was 4 months sober, and you know, he was struggling today. And he said he was having a lot of bad thoughts in his head. And so, you know, I just challenged him. I said, hey, man, it's one day at a time, you know, and don't think about doing it for yourself. Think about doing it for somebody who you love, you know, somebody who you care about, you know, because if you think about doing it for somebody else, you know, it just makes it a lot easier for me when I think about doing it for the people that care about me, for the people that, you know, that I inspire. You know, they're the ones that motivate me.
Hey, Troy, one last thought. This is, and I want to say it again to you, this is what I admire so much about you. It's one thing to own your problem. It's another thing to own it and then get help and then fix it. But entirely another to do it and not say to yourself, all right, this is a private matter, I took care of it, and then go about your life and your business. You're not doing that. You're saying, yeah, I need to continue to address this and own this, but I want to help others because I know other people are going through it. I mean, it says so much. You don't need to do that. It says so much about you. And the other thing, it seems to me, that you really understand, you understand that if you say one thing to one person that it seems totally random, it could impact them literally for the rest of their life, right? Like, you understand that you have that kind of power.
1,000%. And it's, I mean, and it's something, you know, and like I said, that's just something that continues to inspire me to continue to, you know, I feel that energy. You know, I go to talk to this group out here in Buffalo called Kids Escaping Drugs. And, you know, I go have conversation with those kids just because, you know, I know, I mean, these kids are anywhere from 13 to 20, I think it's 21, 22, 23 years old, and all, you know, have issues in their life with addiction. And, you know, some of those kids just need to have a conversation to, just need to be listened to, you know what I mean? And I know, you know, especially out here in Buffalo, myself, as a high-profile athlete, as somebody as simple as me going and having that conversation really could change somebody's life. And like I said, that's just what continues to inspire me. You know, I love seeing these stories of people, you know, telling me how long they've been sober. And you know, it really just touches me inside, man. It really, like I said, just continues to motivate me.
I think it's amazing. I really do. I'd walk off on that. I want to ask you one thing about the game against the Dolphins, but I think that's an amazing thing that you understand that you have that kind of impact. And I don't want to say responsibility because you don't have to, but you are. So, man,
right.
I have so much respect for you for doing that and so much admiration. You've got the Dolphins on Sunday. You did beat them 35-0 in their place in week two. So how do you approach this one? How much can you take away from that first game and apply to this one?
Yeah, obviously, you know, Tua's back playing. You know, he came out injured early on in that game. So probably be, you know, a little different game. You know, we understand they're a hungry football team, man. You know, took a tough loss at Atlanta this last weekend, and they're hungry for a win. So, you know, they're coming here to Buffalo. They're not just going to lay down. So we got to really prepare well. They got some really good players over there, obviously. And we got to prepare well and come ready to play.
Jordan Poyer, man, what a journey that you're on right now. And there's so much ahead of you, both in football and life, obviously. But I so appreciate you and you sharing your story always and coming on this show. Every time you come on, Jordan, it's like this great shot of energy and adrenaline. And I'm always so much better for it.
I really appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you so much. Great to have you on, Jordan. Thank you, man. Have a great day. Have a great week. And thank you again for sharing your time and your story. He is something else, boy. Jordan Poyer, he really is something else. I can't stress that enough. For him to be as open about the things that he has battled, overcome, the adversity he's taken on, the fact that he said, yeah, you know, I used to be too macho to ask for help. You need to ask for help. And the ones that you ask help of probably already know you have a problem. And then, like I said, it's one thing to address it, fix it, get beyond it, and then just say, all right, that's a private matter. He's not doing that. He's saying, I'll talk to pretty much anybody. If you have an issue or a question or you want to DM me, go ahead. Because I know that I'm having an impact and it feels awesome. He's such a good dude. So imagine having that guy in your secondary room. And then imagine having the others they have in that secondary room. Micah Hyde, Tre'Davious White. And they've got that consistency and they've got that chemistry. Man, that is a good football team and a good organization. Buffalo at home against Miami. 1 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Hope you got something out of that. I know I did. Every single time I put him on, I get something out of that. When we come back, we are open all the way until 11:40. So now is the time to call the program. The killer crossovers. The nothing but net jumpers. The tenacious throwdowns. Ladies, gentlemen, basketball is back. And DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, is celebrating the return to the hardwood by giving new customers a free shot at millions of bucks in total prizes. Playing daily fantasy hoops is easy. You pick your lineup, you stay under the salary cap, you rack up points for three-pointers, rebounds, assists, and more. You score big, and then you can score big cash. And with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes, it is the perfect time now to show off your basketball IQ. And DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. And best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings app. Use the code ROME. And this week, new customers get a free shot at millions in total prizes with their first deposit. Code ROME, R-O-M-E, only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions do apply. You want to see DraftKings.com for details. And remember, use the code ROME, DraftKings.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
15 seconds. Break ends in 5 seconds.
Going to be a very happy Halloween with the NFL on CBS and some spooktacular divisional rivalries, including the Steelers stepping into Cleveland to battle the Browns. Dolphins and Bills, as we just talked about. Get set for all the action getting underway with the NFL today at noon Eastern and 9 a.m. Pacific. This Sunday, the NFL is on CBS. I will not be in New York as part of the program, but I will be watching like I am every single Sunday. It's going to be spooktacular. Some good matchups. So if you want to respond or react to Jordan Poyer, go right ahead. Some really good reaction on social media to that interview. Dustin G writes, great interview with Jordan Poyer. Can't explain how helpful hearing stuff like that is. He's a legend. Well, there's no doubt. There's no doubt, especially, can you imagine if, and he made the point that he talks to kids, if you're a young person and you're dealing with something and you're thinking to yourself, man, nobody knows, nobody understands. My parents don't get it. My teachers don't get it. Nobody understands what I'm dealing with right now. And you see somebody like Jordan Poyer, and he's just an icon, and he's a legend, and he's a great athlete, and he's a celebrity, and he comes to your school, or he talks to you, and he says, oh, I know exactly what you're dealing with. I've dealt with it myself. Talk to me. I think it's amazing, one, that he puts himself out there like that, and two, that he does understand. I mean, think about something that somebody said to you when you were young, and especially somebody like that. You ever meet somebody that you really admired or looked up to? Or even not as somebody young, but at any age whatsoever. You remember those moments. You remember those interactions. They stay with you, especially if they're bad interactions. And he's saying, I understand the sort of influence and impact I have on people and what I've gone through, what I have to share. And I think that's why you notice how I didn't bring that up. He and I have talked about that before. He came on the show and we talked about where he's at, and then he mentioned it. He went there himself. Like, he understands that he has a platform, and he wants to talk about it. He wants you to ask him. He's an amazing guy. It would be tough enough to be a player in that league, at that level, with that responsibility, and to have a family, and to have everything else. I mean, that's all in, like, no days off, without taking on more responsibility for other folks who are dealing with really difficult things. It takes a really unique individual to not only put himself out there, but say, hey, you need some help. I'm here for you. Talk to me. You can DM me. It's amazing. Jason tweets, awesome segment on Jim Rome today. I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. And to be blunt, I have tuned out anything Buffalo Bills for decades. Not today. Great segment, great guy, and great job. Again, see, that's the best thing about being me in that position. I didn't do anything except make the phone call. Then I love the folks in the Natty. And this is something Ross Tucker said yesterday. He said, Jim, if I'm a Bengals fan, I'm waking up this morning after that beatdown they put on the Ravens, and I am looking for anything and everything written about my team. I can't get enough. I love this for Cincinnati. I love that they're experiencing the success they are both professionally and in college. It is so awesome for that town, and they're feeling it. Ian writes, Jim, thank you for all the love for the Natty. The city is pumped for both teams. Great interview with Desmond. He has come a long way since first arriving here. There were talks of benching him early last year. Ian in the Natty. War Jungle Karma. Ian, funny you say that. I ran out of time, but I was going to ask him, how different are you now than when you first arrived on campus? And you nailed it. He's come so far. He has come a long way. What a great leader and a great player. James in MT writes, I, too, have a lot more school spirit after having some vodka. Signed, Urban Meyer, sporting his Ohio State sweater, dancing with his grandkids.
Stayed to see the grandkids.
You know, my thing is, honestly, about that, I mean, it'd be so easy for me to pile on. My thing about that is, that's not my thing about that. That's between him and his family. That's between him and his wife, him and his kids, him and his grandkids. My thing is more about how he didn't get on the plane after that game. That's the one thing I just cannot get my head wrapped around. See, I don't have a 24-hour rule when it comes to things like that. I still do not understand how that can be. How does an NFL head coach not get on the plane with his team after a loss and say, man, I got to blow off some steam? Quote, buddy needs a night out.
Get out of Dodge.
I got to get out of Dodge, man. I got to blow off some steam. Can you imagine if any one of his assistant coaches pulled that crap? Can you imagine if any one of his players pulled that crap? But the guy,
that was devastating,
pulled that crap. And I want to hear about, give it a rest, Rome. He's a rookie head coach. He didn't know. Come on, man. You know, this is heartbreaking. Yeah, by the way, what about that? That whole thing about it's devastating. It's heartbreaking. Dude, you didn't look too shook. You didn't look too devastated. You didn't look too heartbroken. You look like you put on your Ohio State pullover and were having a good old time. And again, I don't care about that. That's not my business. I'm not here to judge that. I don't care about that. But what are you doing telling me how devastated and heartbroken you are losing when you're doing that? You look pretty happy to me in that moment. And now he gets to go to Seattle. You imagine if that guy does Pete and the 12s.
Get out of Dodge.
Pete will be looking to get out of Dodge. But I'll tell you what, if he does, I'll tell you what he won't do. He won't come back to L.A. and put on his USC sweatshirt and go to some club.
That's devastating.
It's heartbreaking. 1-800-636-8686. I know this. If your first name sounds like Perv, you don't want to do things like that. It's kind of like if your last name is Pippin, you best be Tippin. People do funny things with names. I'm just saying. There she is again. She's all in. She was in early, this gal, at Bengals Gal in FL. Jimmy, really nice interview with Desmond Ritter. Cincinnati Bearcats and Bengals football is exciting and fun right now. It is a great feeling because they're winning. Thanks again, Rome. Hashtag Jungle Karma. War Lady Clones.
War Lady Clones.
You know, back in the day, one of my favorite tour stops ever, and it was in a torrential downpour. It was at the Cintas Center at Xavier. I've had good times in that area. So I'm happy for the Natty because they've gone through some hard times. Man, I can't say this enough. Maybe you weren't listening yesterday, or maybe you didn't see me on the NFL Today on CBS on Sunday. The Bengals did not just go into Baltimore and beat the Ravens, who are arguably the best team in the AFC when they did it. They beat them up. They beat them down. They had to get Lamar out of the game so he didn't take any more punishment from the Bengals. It's an amazing thing to see. The Natty feeling it. And I'm here for you, Natty. Hit me up. At 45 Got Fat. Haven't read his stuff in a while. He used to be like a mainstay. Chalk, have you never seen him before? At 45 Got Fat. You understand the reference? At 45 Got Fat. I talked to Tim Grover on my side hustle. Tim Grover famously trained 45 when he was 23. And Kobe Bryant and Dwayne Wade and Chuck and some others. I wonder what Grover, and Grover's a serious dude now, very serious. I wonder what he would think of the handle 45 Got Fat. I bet he would not find humor in that, like the rest of us. Anyway, he wrote, this Jordan Poyer piece isn't an interview, but more like a conversation where two bros are just chopping it up. Not really, actually. We have conversations like that where, quote, two bros chop it up. I'm going to say that that was a much deeper conversation than a couple of bros chopping it up. But I appreciate the sentiment, sort of, kind of, even if I don't agree with it. Put it this way, that was not an interview. That was a conversation, but a deep conversation, a good conversation. I have immense respect for him. All right, so Mike Tomlin made it pretty clear, I'm not going to USC. There isn't a booster with a big enough paycheck. Quote, this is what he told Adam Schefter or ESPN. Quote, I got one of the best jobs in all of professional sport. There is not a booster with a big enough blank check. There's your straight fire. By the way, Mike, there probably is. There's some really rich folk that went to USC. I know. I live around here. I live around them. And a lot of them are D-bags. But then you could say that about any super, super rich booster at any school. I'm just saying that that's not true to say that there's not a booster with a big enough check. There is. You just don't want their money, and I don't blame you. Why would this guy give up a job in the NFL to go to the college ranks, especially that job? And if things don't work out in Pittsburgh, and by the way, if you work there, you work there a long, long time. Look how long the guys that have coached there have been there. Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin. And there's nothing to suggest that Tomlin's on the hot seat. But if this guy were suddenly to leave Pittsburgh on his own fruition or was asked to leave Pittsburgh, you don't think there'd be a line around the block to hire him in the NFL? Why would he go back to the college game? I don't fault USC for trying, but I tend to believe that straight fire. He's not going to the college game. For who? For what? He doesn't need to. To even get this guy to return a telephone call would cost a hell of a lot of money. All right, when we return, I do want to talk about the Mannings and the show that Marshawn Lynch put on last night. How about some phone calls? 1-800-636-8686. Listen, it's an open forum here. If you don't want to talk about what I'm talking about, but you want to talk about something, go ahead. I'm here. In fact, I'll give you your own platform. You can plant your flag right here.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. When you call it Dell Technologies Advisor, they are focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from Windows laptops to the cloud. To keep your small business ready for what's next, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro. This guy writes, Mike Tomlin clearly has not been told about my checkbook. Regards, Beauregard in Pacific Palisades. It's the fake Beauregard. That's actually Ryan in Sacktown. Again, if I were USC, I would try to get to Mike Tomlin. If I were Mike Tomlin, I probably would not return the telephone call. Nothing against USC. It's still a really good job. Just not better than jobs that Mike could get or already has. So who's going to get that USC job? You know who they're targeting. James Franklin keeps coming up. He doesn't want to talk about it. Mario Cristobal has come up. Mike Tomlin. Tomlin is not going to USC. Not for 10, not for 15, not 20, not 25. He just said it himself. There's not a blank check that could get me to go there. He's like, why would I do that? All I know is I'm glad that the speculation started because we finally got the straight fire that he promised when he started that Twitter feed way back in the day.
Finally.
Finally. How you doing back there, Pops? You good? Finally. Just checking in on Ritt. Finally. All right, so the best thing about watching last night's game, I did say at the very top that, man, that was not an easy game to watch. And that if they did not pay me, I would have turned it off. But they paid me to watch the game, so I had to find a way to get through it. You know, with affirmations. They're paying me, they're paying me, they're paying me, they're paying me. Do the job, do the job. It's going to be over tonight. It'll be over. The pain is temporary. Embrace the suck. This game sucks. Embrace the suck. They're paying me. They're paying me. The thing that did make it better, of course, though, was the Manning Bros did work that game. They don't work every week, but they worked that game. And watching them is cool because there's entertaining content and you learn something. Seriously, you learn something when you watch these guys, even if they're clowning. Even if it's learning that Peyton gets really frustrated with missed field goals and bad plays where a quarterback throws it away when he doesn't have to. You know that whole thing about how it's always better just to throw it away? Watching Peyton, it's not always better to just throw it away. Another thing that he really does not like is the failure to seize momentum after a turnover. The Seahawks forced a turnover. They were in Saints territory, and Peyton was ready. Peyton knew what he wanted to see in that moment.
Have something good called in this first play. Don't just come out and run the ball and get it to a second and nine. I like a play action pass right here, and I'm off.
Yeah, great prediction.
See, there you go. Peyton's like saying it. All right, good, good. You force that turnover. Now have something ready. Don't just line up and run it and get a yard and put yourself in a second and long. Him saying that he doesn't want to see a run that makes it second and nine. And what happens? Seattle makes it a run and second and nine. And you can tell how put off he was. One of these days, Peyton's giant pink dome is going to explode while he's watching these games, and especially if it's the Seahawks in prime time again. But if I'm being honest about last night, the real star of the Lick Racer show was neither Lick Racer himself, but it was, of course, none other than Marshawn Lynch. Because, of course, he's freaking Marshawn Lynch. He takes over any show or any room or any space where he appears. He's just about that action, boss.
I'm just about that action, boss.
There's nobody like him. Yes, I know that Tom Brady also got a quarter of the program, and, you know, there was some insight there. He is the GOAT. But let's be real. There is nothing, even Tom Brady, nothing Brady himself could do or say that would be half as interesting as anything Marshawn does or says. Marshawn Lynch was pretty much riveting on everything. For starters, here is his breakdown for how he pre-gamed for his appearance last night.
I was watching your interview with Peyton on his Peyton Places, and I learned that before games, you had a pregame ritual where you do a shot and a half of Hennessy before the game. Did you do anything to get warmed up tonight?
Well, because I ain't playing, so I had a three shot minimum today. so I'm feeling real good, and I took one for me, I took one for Big Bro, and I got one for Lil Bro. So I made sure I.
Oh, perfect. Honored. I'm honored.
Yeah.
Thank you for that tribute. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm man, honored. I was looking out.
Yeah, there's so much to like about that. Marshawn. First of all, notice he didn't say three-shot max. He said three-shot minimum. Hell yes. This guy's the best. Like, I'm not a Henny guy, but after hearing that, I want to be. In fact, after hearing that, I am. Not only did he smash three shots before hitting air, he had a reason for each shot. One for him, one for Big Bra, and one for Lil Bra. Seems to me, though, actually, he should have had one for Big Bra, one for Lil Bra, one for him, but one for Grandpa, one for Middle Bra, Cooper, and one for his son, Arch. So three is great, but he really should have had six if he was doing one for all of them. That would have been next level, even for Marshawn. Still, while three is not six, three is a hell of a lot better than none. And you knew he'd get some, and he did. And then talk turned, of course, to the Super Bowl.
Fourth and one, Marshawn, you're a fan of running little quick screen passes, or are you a fan of running the ball, especially close to the goal line?
Troll.
That's kind of your preference. You don't have to answer that till after the commercial.
I know.
You don't have to.
I know it. I know the answer. I know the answer. We all have heard the answer.
Look, man, put the ball in my hands.
That was just such a reasonable response, man, and so responsible. I thought he was going to say, "Look, man, bleep you, Pinky." Two of these guys trying to stir up trouble with Marshawn. He held that like a boss. Then he broke down the earthquake run, arguably the greatest run ever, and the mentality that goes into it and what he was thinking as he was just tearing up the defense, and the entire ground underneath him was shaking.
I mean, to me, I've done some cool things before, but I've never caused an earthquake. I mean, how did it feel to actually cause an earthquake?
Hey, man, to tell you the truth, I'm going to tell you for real, it was a great feeling, but I mean, I'll trade that earthquake run if I could, you feel me, if I could get your hand. I'll cut Buffalo mines off just to get one of yours. You know what I'm talking about?
For real. Dude, that's serious. Now you know what this guy's running on. Now you know this dude's mindset. He just said it. He'd cut off both of his hands to get one of yours. Now, I'm not exactly sure what that means. I know the math doesn't seem right on that. It just sounded serious as hell. My man just said, I would cut off both my hands to get one of yours. I don't know what that means. I just know that it's serious. And of course, there were going to be obscenities with Marshawn, like when he went with an F-bomb on a fumbled snap.
Protected. Oh, what the f***?
I don't think they had a play.
That's why you bring that guy in, right? That's what you're going to get when Marshawn comes on your show. Marshawn, and it's awesome. Like, if you don't want him to F-bomb a jacked-up exchange between the center and the quarterback, don't bring him on. But then again, who doesn't want that? We all want that. I just never thought that we would get that on a show hosted by the Lick Racers. That's the most amazing thing of all, right? That these all-time moments are created and happening on a show hosted by the Lick Racing Brothers, which is incredible. And if it sounds like I didn't think that these Lick Racers had it in them, it's because I didn't think these Lick Racers had it in them. And by the way, the elder Lick Racer was apologizing after Marshawn went F-bomb.
Thank Marshawn Lynch. Not as wild about the language. Want to apologize for some of the language. It's not what we're trying to do on this show. I had to remind Eli that this show is live. So Eli's learned his lesson. Marshawn, I probably should have
hands
reminded
down.
Him. Keep your hands,
hands
down,
below
Eli.
The screen.
Anyway, we apologize for that, but... Anyway, let's get back to some football here, E.
Is that not the most disingenuous thing you've ever heard in your life? You apologized for the bad language. Dude, the only thing you should be apologizing for is if you bring him on and he doesn't do that. You know exactly what you're going to get when you book Marshawn Lynch. You get that. And by the way, that's why you book Marshawn Lynch. He gave you exactly what you wanted. You know you're not sorry, Lick Racer. So stop saying you are. There isn't a viewer in the world or a suit responsible for that show who did not know that that F-bomb was coming. So don't act all shocked and apologetic when you know that you were chest bumping and awkwardly high-fiving each other after he did it. Because y'all were hyped. We all were. Marshawn effing Lynch, baby.
Oh, what the f***?
Man, stop acting like you're sorry. You're not sorry. You knew he would do that. He's Marshawn Lynch. And if you're not about that action, boss, just turn off your station.
You have a problem, turn off your station.
Or watch their unwatchable telecast on the original network. Honestly, that's way more offensive than the Lick Racers and their F-bombing guests. Come on, Pink Man. Oh, we're very sorry. We're not about that language. That's not why we're here. Then why did you put Marshawn Lynch on? Come on, man. And it was awesome. Just don't act like you're surprised when Marshawn goes Marshawn.
Oh,
do we look that down? Oh. My man watching a fumbled snap and saying, what the bleep is that? It was incredible. The elder Lick Racer pretending to be sorry. Not awesome. Got Michael Lombardi coming up next hour, but not until the final segment. So still phone lines are open. I want to talk about the 49ers quarterback situation. All of that still ahead.